welcome to Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, romance. Later on, we hear the story Zia's Dream on the series Romance. But right now, it's the Harold Lloyd Comedy Theater with the play Take a Letter, Darling. John Hodiak, the star, along with Susan Hayward and former silent film star Harold Lloyd, as host from December 3rd, 1944 on NBC.
Comedy Theater, the only radio program that brings you every week the greatest stars in the greatest comedies. Tonight's play, Take a Letter, Darling, starring John Hodiak and Susan Hayward. And here is the director of the Old Gold Comedy Theater, Mr. Harold Lloyd.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our play tonight, Take a Letter, Darling, was cast in a very psychic manner. Because when we asked ourselves, now, who would be a perfectly virile young man for our lead? A little voice said,
Johnny Hodiak.
And when we asked ourselves, now, who would combine charm and humor and rugged individuality? A little voice said,
Johnny Hodiak.
So we listened to that little voice, and it grew into a big, strong voice which said the very same thing.
John Hodiak.
Welcome to Comedy Theater, John. Pull up a microphone and make yourself broadcastable.
Thank you, Harold.
I hope you managed to find a leading lady, John. You'll need one, you know.
Yes, I know. And I had an experience similar to yours, Harold, because when I asked myself, who's a beautiful girl with poise and sophistication and charm, a little voice said,
Susan Hayward.
Well, now, isn't that amazing? Probably both of us are wired for sound. But what did you do?
I listened to that voice, and it grew stronger, but it always said the same thing.
Susan Hayward.
Welcome, Susan. What do you think of our psychic powers?
Quite impressive. Do you tell fortunes, too?
Indeed, I do. I huddled with my prognosticator this afternoon, and I can safely predict that you and John are going to give as delightful performances tonight as John is giving in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Marriage is a Private Affair, and yours, Susan, in Paramount's And Now Tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Now, let me begin this way. Once upon a time, a very shrewd advertising man said, it pays to advertise, and made himself a lot of money. And once upon a time, Tom Verney, a very shrewd young man, said, it pays to be in advertising, and made himself a lot of trouble. It all began when Tom carried 6 feet of muscle, 2.5 feet of shoulders, and a letter of introduction into the offices of Atwater and McGregor, advertising specialists.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a letter of introduction, A.M. McGregor.
Is it about a job?
Well, yes.
You want to know something?
Well, yes.
You'll get the job.
Well, yes.
Yes. The more I look at you, the more I'm sure you'll get the job. Chump.
Chump.
Third door to the right. Just walk in.
Thanks, pal.
Don't mention it, chump.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking for McGregor.
Well, you found her. Close the door. Come on in and sit down.
Well, I am sorry. Dooley didn't tell me McGregor was a lady.
Is a lady. You have a letter from him? May I see it?
Yes, here.
Tom Verney, huh? I might be able to use you. What have you done?
Well, nothing much. I had an income and lived as I pleased. Shipped aboard freighters twice, once to the Argentine, once to Portugal. I was bodyguard to a banker, played pro football for a couple of years, but, none of it was work.
Piggy bank empty?
That's right.
College graduate?
Yep.
Do you like advertising?
Not particularly.
Well, that's a fine start. What do you like?
Well, I guess I'm childish, but that's my secret.
Stand up.
Huh? What?
How do you look in clothes?
Clothes?
Yeah, I mean a decent suit of tails.
Well, isn't this suit decent? I've worn it for 2 years, haven't been arrested once.
Please answer my question and try not to be cute.
Pardon me, fire away.
Do you dance?
Fairly well, no prizes.
Are you married?
Nope.
Any obligations?
What kind?
Female.
No.
Well, you're a little on the gargantua side, but I'll take a chance. You'll start at $50 a week.
$50?
When you're worth more, you'll be paid more.
Well, thanks. But what am I?
My private secretary.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about shorthand or typing.
Oh, we have girls in the outer office for that. Your duties will be more personal.
I see. Miss McGregor, I came here because I needed money, but if what I'm thinking is right, pardon me while I go out and start digging a nice clean ditch.
Oh, just a moment, Mr. Verney. Believe me, I won't hurt you. Your three predecessors made the same mistake. It was probably the night work that fooled them.
Night work?
Mm-hmm. You see, a woman in advertising has an edge and a handicap. She's a woman. That's the edge. But so are the wives of the executive she has to deal with. And that's the handicap.
Oh, and they think that they...
You're learning, Verney. And that's what we're up against tonight. We're dining with a Mr. and Mrs. French. He has a $2 million advertising contract that I could use. And a wife that I could choke.
Can't say I blame her for being suspicious. You're quite beautiful.
You're learning. And that's why I need you.
To choke the wife.
Oh, no, you won't have to go that far. Just a little extra pressure when you're dancing with her should do the trick. See what I mean?
I'm learning.
How does the job strike you?
Repulsive.
$50 a week.
Impressive.
You'll take it?
Positive.
Good. Now dash over to Barton's and get yourself a full dress suit. Here's the address. I'll pick you up tonight at 7. You'll probably need alterations. Hurry now and ask for Mr. Barton personally.
You, Mr. Barton?
I'm Mr. Barton.
Miss McGregor sent me.
Oh, Mr. Verney. Miss McGregor phoned about you, so you're the new secretary, eh?
Yeah, I'm the new secretary. Let me see some soup and fish. I have to pick one out.
Now. My men have taken care of everything.
What do you mean?
Well, tails, top hat, stick, gloves, complete gentleman. It's all ready for you.
Stick?
And I have a little surprise for you, Verney. You're going to get 2 business suits also. You lucky dog, you.
Don't poke me in the ribs. How do I know this stuff's going to fit?
My dear boy, I have been dressing Miss McGregor's secretaries for years. But we'll try this coat on just to make you happier. My, but you do have broad shoulders and large biceps. Wrestle?
With you?
Well, please. Certainly not. No, indeed. I was just making chit-chat.
Well, this coat's too tight.
Maybe and maybe not. Miss McGregor likes a form-fitting coat.
I'm wearing it.
Miss McGregor is buying it.
Oh, I see. Well, what would you do if I held out for a large one?
Unfortunately for you, I should be forced to telephone Miss McGregor. Now, wait a minute. Don't bunch your shoulders and don't stretch your arms. You'll rip the coat. Oh, you huge beast.
Yes, this is Harold Lloyd to tell you that Tom Verney carried off his first assignment with flying colors. While Mrs. French spread her wings and Tom spread the oil, McGregor spread the contract before Mr. French and got 5 winks, 3 hand squeezes, 2 knee nudges, and 1 important signature. And McGregor was grateful. She doubled Tom's salary. Yes, McGregor knew a good man when she saw one. That is, secretarially speaking. And she knew an unhappy man when she saw one, too, because the next day in the office she said...
Verney, you did a fine job on Mrs. French. What did you say to her?
I did what you told me, that's all.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
You don't like your work, huh?
Well, I don't feel honest. I don't even feel like a man.
Do you want to quit?
No.
Why not?
I need the money.
Oh. Verney.
Why?
What do you think of me?
How do you mean?
Well, personally, what's your opinion?
You're a very successful woman, beautiful and clever, that's all I think.
Verney, do you think you could ever fall in love with me?
What?
Answer me. Do you think you could ever fall in love with me?
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You're liable to be the best secretary I've ever had. Now, you just do what I tell you, do it well, and think what you want.
Thanks, I always do.
Oh, pardon me, I thought you were alone.
Come on in, it's all right. This is Atwater, my partner. Verney, my new secretary I was telling you about.
Glad to know you.
How do you do?
Big fella, isn't he?
Smart operator, too. He knocked 20 years off of Mrs. French last night with his strong right arm.
I used to be good at that sort of thing, and then all at once I lost my fire, my waistline.
And quite a few good contracts.
I've got an exercise that's good for the waistline.
Well, I don't need it. I've got a partner that's good for the contracts.
And why should you worry as long as I'm willing to make your living, huh?
Oh, no complaint, my dear. I came in to tell you that Jonathan Caldwell and his sister Ethel are in town.
Oh, the man with 4 wives and a tobacco fortune.
He hasn't any wife now. He hates and despises women. Can't stand the sight of them. After 4 strikes, he's not only out, well, he threw his bat away.
Been reading up on him?
Talked to him last night.
You know, the Caldwell Tobacco Company should keep him locked up.
Their president?
He's the president?
He's the big wheel, along with his sister. Well, he's in town to change agencies.
What? Why didn't you say so? Get him on the phone. What are we waiting
for? Now, take it easy. You haven't got a chance. He hates women.
That's a $10 million account. Who's a woman?
You were, last time I looked in your direction.
Well, don't be silly. We're wasting time. If he hates women, I'll be something else.
This she does with mirrors.
Don't be a sap, Atwater. Look, get me all the newspaper clippings on his past love life.
I know a couple of books you'd enjoy more.
Vernie, have the art department get me copies of the Caldwell advertising layouts for the past 5 years.
All right.
And then go to the library and get all the books you can on tobacco. Everything about tobacco.
Okay.
And get going, partner. Get Caldwell on the phone and make an appointment for me next Monday. I'll need the weekend to plan my campaign.
Well, you don't need to get so excited about it. It's just another account. Oh, what am I saying?
Anything else?
Yeah. Pack a bag for the weekend. We'll work together.
A bag? Where?
At my lodge. Now, we've got a lot of work to do, and we won't be disturbed. Oh, remind me to get a couple of dresses. Very demure and innocent looking.
For the lodge?
Of course not. For Caldwell.
Oh, should I make train reservations?
Oh, don't bother. We'll drive.
Boy, there's nothing like a fireplace and a good log fire to stretch your feet in front of. I'm just a natural-born foot toaster.
All right. Now get busy with your homework. Grab one of those books and learn all about tobacco. Well,
can't I have a breathing spell?
No. Just look at me going through 7 years of Caldwell's life. 7 years and four wives. Miss Tobaccoland of 1934. An elevator girl. A friend of his first wife and a nightclub dancer. And I volunteered to get his signature on an advertising contract.
You'll get it.
Why do you say that?
You're class, and you're pretty, too. The minute he finds out you're different, he's hooked.
Thanks, but it won't be that simple.
It'll be a cinch for you. It's women with the hearts that get messed up. A woman without emotion can plan like a general in battle.
Oh, I see. Vernie, why do you work at a job you don't like?
I need the money.
We're a lot alike, you know that? We'll both swallow our pride to get just what we want. You for $100 and I for a little more. You know, you could be a very successful man, Vernie.
Not the way you mean.
Why not?
I guess I'll have to explain about myself after all. I'm an artist. Trouble is, I paint what I like, and 9 times out of 10, that means no money.
Are you good?
I haven't decided. You see, I took this job to earn enough money for a jalopy and a trailer. Then I'm going to head for Mexico to paint my head off and live by the sun.
I've dreamt those dreams. They never come true.
They will for me. Anyway, now you know why I dance around with your fat, jealous wives.
Now I'll tell you something, silly. I write.
Write what?
Poetry.
Oh?
Well, go ahead and laugh.
Why? All of us are poets. Only some can put it in words and some just get a feeling.
I like you, Vernie. Never fall in love with me, will you?
Don't worry.
What do you say it like that?
Look, you're just a beautiful brain and beautiful clothes. No temperature, no pulse, that's all.
Where did you learn about women, Vernie?
It isn't a matter of learning, just instinct.
So I'm a brain with no pulse, huh? Look, I'm a woman, Vernie. More woman than you've ever known. When I fall in love, it's going to be like the sea crashing against the rocks and lightning flashing across the sky and thunder rolling through the mountains. I mustn't make a mistake. It can happen only once. Understand?
Come here, I'm going to kiss you.
Get your things packed. We're going back to town.
Tonight?
As soon as you're ready.
Why?
As long as you're working for me, you'll do as you're told. Start packing. I'll meet you outside in the car.
Okay, you're the boss. May I ask a question?
Certainly.
Am I fired?
No. Well, you've proven very capable. If you continue to do your work well, there's no reason why you shouldn't remain on salary.
I'm talking about my kissing you.
Oh, that's forgotten. It was an incident of no importance.
You're running away from it. That makes it important. You see, you've worked hard for independence, and you're afraid you're going to lose it. Well, you are, but I promise you won't regret it.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Have you decided I'm in love with you?
Yes.
Well, let me assure you I'm not. And will you keep your place as an employee, or will I have to fire you after all?
Sorry, my mistake. I won't get out of line again.
If I hurt you, I'm sorry. But I had to set you straight.
No harm done. I heal quickly.
Shake?
Shake.
And now we can go after Caldwell.
We? I thought he was wifeless at the moment.
Oh, he is. But he has a sister.
Oh, well, not interested.
You will be when I tell you about the bonus.
What bonus?
Well, if we land the Caldwell account, there's $10,000 in it for you.
$10,000? Oh, woo!
What does that mean?
Well, ain't nobody here but us wolves, boss. Nobody here but us wolves.
Well, Tom was right. McGregor got in to see Jonathan Caldwell, and when he discovered she was a woman, he threw her out. But she left behind some advertising samples that caught his eye, and she left behind the memory of beautiful hair and beautiful features and a beautiful figure that must have caught his other eye, because that afternoon he phoned and told her.
I called to find out if you submitted that campaign to my competitors as you threatened to do.
Why, no. Not yet.
No doubt. I think it merits further discussion. How are you with women?
Women?
Yes, my sister has the final say in the advertising. You know, you'll have to convince her. Well, how about dinner with us tonight?
Oh, that'll be excellent. Oh, by the way, one of our best men is just back from Washington, Tom Verney. Mind if I bring him along?
So you'll need some help with my sister.
Not at all, but, well, he has some of the best brains in the advertising business, and we could use his ideas.
Well, bring him along. She might fall from it that.
And did Ethel Caldwell fall for Tom? She fell like a German city for General Patton. 2 dances, and she told him how she loved the North. 6 dances, and she told him how he'd love the South. 10 dances, and she told him how much the South loved the North. 12 dances, and the band went home. So they returned to their table, where they found a very amused Jonathan Caldwell and a very irritated McGregor.
I do declare, Tom is a divine dancer.
You two dance very well together.
Like a couple of penguins.
Have you made up your mind about the advertising, sis?
Well, really, it's so late, and, well, the place is closing.
Perhaps tomorrow.
Oh, sorry, I'm leaving for Carolina. Oh, well, do you fly, Tom?
Fly.
To Carolina, with me. We could lounge around for a couple of weeks while you mull over your ideas.
Sure move, Ernie, if you can break your chain.
What do you say, Tom? You'll be my house guest at Caldwell Acres. After all, we can accomplish just as much there. Maybe even more.
You know, I'm sure he'd enjoy that, Miss Caldwell, but he has important conferences in Washington. Don't you, Verney?
No.
What?
No, the president can wait. I'll be very happy to accept your invitation, Ethel.
Well, that's that, and I do mean that. Well, after all, your interest is only in getting our account, Miss McGregor. This looks like the way to do it.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Of course, if Mr. Verney feels the president can wait... I'm just a taxpayer.
I'll have the hotel arranged for another plane ticket.
Well, that'll be fine. Shall I call for you at your hotel?
Well, do. Then we can have breakfast together.
Well, of all the...
steady. Remember that contract.
I never saw such a disgusting exhibition of...
Now, never cry over spilled hamburger. After all, you brought it along for the wolf.
Is your sister a wolf?
Mm-hmm. Runs in the family. Didn't you notice how long he is?
Yes, and I'd like to tear them off. Just wait till I get him alone. I'll tell him. You deliberately accepted that invitation, knowing I didn't want you to go.
I did what you told me to. Don't you like it?
You don't need a mink coat. You can say no, can't you?
And lose the contract?
What do you know about advertising? What are you going to tell her about the campaign when you get down there?
I'm not worried. You can send down ideas every now and then, and I'll spring them on her.
Oh, as your bright thoughts, of course.
Sure.
Fine. I should beat my brains out so that you can convince her that you're an encyclopedia with muscles.
Oh, let's not get excited. If I made a mistake, fire me.
I can't fire you, and you know it.
All right, then I quit.
No!
Then stop yelling at me!
I'll just say one thing. Never in my whole life have I seen a man make a greater fool of himself over a woman.
Check.
Prancing around the floor like a Great Dane chasing butterflies.
Check.
You never even asked me for a single dance.
Check and double check.
So Tom went to Caldwell Acres as Ethel's guest and had a wonderful time while McGregor burned. And back in New York, Jonathan Caldwell burned too, but his temperature was induced by love. So he picked up the phone, dialed a number, and said...
I've got surprising news for you.
About your sister?
No, nothing so trivial. It's about me. I've fallen in love with you. How soon can I see you?
Oh, well, look, some important business has come up. I'm leaving for Caldwell Acres this afternoon.
Perfect, so am I. I'll have you on my own home ground.
Are you hinting that I have a chance of becoming Mrs. Caldwell the Fifth? Do I have to join a union?
Nothing so drastic. But I warn you, I'm going to make you care for me. And I say that knowing that right now, spiritually, you're sitting on Tom Verney's lap.
And he was so right. Because as soon as they arrived at Caldwell Acres and McGregor could get Tom alone, she said...
What do you think I'm paying you for? Why didn't you answer my wires? Why, these sample layouts haven't even been opened.
No, take it easy. I figured out another campaign with Ethel. She didn't like your ideas.
Oh, she didn't?
No. Our idea is to show the world's most famous painters at work on their masterpieces. And eat smoking. The painters, I mean. Oh, here are some of the pictures I painted.
Hey, Well, say, these aren't bad. Not bad at all. What an idea. And what a campaign. We'll run these all over the country, and wait till you see the copy I'll write for it.
Oh, sorry. Ethel's writing the copy.
Oh, she is she? Well, let me tell you...
Look, I have to change cocktails with Ethel at 5.
Oh, pardon me for intruding.
How am I doing, Ma?
Yeah, Tom was doing fine. He was doing just what Jonathan had advised.
Look, you can't overdo this jealousy business. Pour it on.
Yeah, but isn't there a time when a girl like Mac is liable to get too much and bounce back into some other fella's arms?
Not a chance. You can't overdo it. Pour it on.
And he did. He really poured it. So heavily that McGregor finally came to Jonathan and said...
Jonathan, a while ago, you asked me to marry you. Does that offer still stand?
Why, yes.
Good. I accept.
And then Jonathan went to Tom and said...
Well, old man, I guess you can stop pouring it on now.
You mean she's had enough?
Yep, she's going to marry me.
Marry you?
That's right. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Just this. Oh.
Yeah, this is Harold Lloyd again, and you're all invited to the wedding. Oh, yes, it's scheduled. Tom is back in New York, brooding in his attic studio. Atwater brought him his check for $10,000 because the Caldwell account has been landed. But Tom, he isn't happy, so he sends McGregor a large portrait for a wedding present. And at Caldwell Acres, they are rehearsing the wedding, and two of Jonathan's disapproving aunts have retired to the library to inspect the presents, when suddenly...
What in the world was that?
Sounded like Aunt Judy. We'd better go see.
So, there you are. Jonathan Caldwell, you're a fool.
Aunt Judy.
And you woman, you're what I knew you were the minute I laid eyes on you.
Not many.
We refuse with all the decency that's in us to be present at this wedding.
If your mother were alive...
Come, Minnie. We'll never enter this house again.
To think we'd ever live to see the day.
What are they talking about?
You'll find it with the presents. Quite a charming portrait of you, Miss McGregor.
Of me.
Here it is. Well, what's this card? To Mac in Memoriam Tom.
Why, it's almost nude. What a childish trick.
What a relief, I'd say.
Relief?
To find out you're human. Was Varney foolish enough to think that this shock would be out of the marriage?
Well, I don't care what he thinks. What about you? Do you think I posed for this?
Oh, Mac, forget the act. I know how these things happen. A couple of advertising executives on their night off.
But I tell you, I had nothing to do with this. Do you think I have hips like that?
You don't understand. I'm glad you did pose for it. You know, I've been around myself. It's good to know you talk my language.
Oh, so I talk your language, do I? You and your four other wives, why, you big flub. I wouldn't marry you if you were the last pair of pants below the Mason-Dixon line.
Now, wait a minute. But don't show that face!
I wasn't going to, but thanks for a wonderful idea.
And that should have ended everything. But when a girl's walking along a southern highway, burdened with two suitcases, and a young fella like Tom Verney comes along in a jalopy with a trailer attached, she can't throw rocks at him forever, can she? Sooner or later, she'll just have to get in and hear him say,
"Sorry, Mac. It's the only way I could bring you to your senses."
Where are you going?
Mexico, remember? Got a lot of painting to do down there. Where do you want me to drop you off?
Oh, anywhere.
Sure thing. You can get back to New York and your advertising business. You've got freedom and independence. It's in your blood. You'll never change.
Tell me, how are you going to live?
Me? Old beans and tortillas out in the open. Rough it, that's for me.
Verney.
What?
How do beans and tortillas out in the open taste?
Best food in the world.
I'd like to try some.
You mean you're coming along?
Mm-hmm.
Just for that?
Not just that. I'm going to teach you how to paint.
Well, thanks, but I'm pretty good already.
You've got one weakness.
Like what?
Maybe you need a streamlined model. You're not too good on hips.
This is Harold Lloyd.
This is Susan Hayward.
This is John Hodiak.
Saying goodnight to you for Old Gold. And I hope you'll be with us again next Sunday when the Old Gold Comedy Theater presents Adolf Monju in Louder, Please. See you then.
Take a Letter, Darling was presented by arrangement with Paramount Pictures, producers of Frenchman's Creek. And listen to Old Gold's other great new show, Which is Which, with Ken Murray as MC, Richard Himber's orchestra, and famous stars of stage, screen, and radio, or their reasonable facsimiles. Tune in Wednesday night on another network. Consult your newspaper for time and station. Bob Williams saying goodnight for Old Gold.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Harold Lloyd Comedy Theater on Tuned to Yesterday, better known as The Old Gold Show, from December 3, 1944 on NBC. The star John Hodiak was best known for his film work, and in the year of that broadcast, he was in no less than 5 motion pictures, including Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat, and from the radio show Maisie, he co-starred in Maisie Goes to Reno, as well as the first film based on that radio show. And even with his regularity on the silver screen, he actually got his start in radio at WXYZ in Detroit, home of programs like The Lone Ranger and Green Hornet. He also had a role created for him on the Lil Labner series, and mostly on radio appeared in adaptations of his films on the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater and the Lux Radio Theater. With all of this, he actually was awarded a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame for not film, but radio. It's an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to the series romance from February 19, 1955. It's Anthony Ellis's story, Zia's Dream, starring John Daner, Virginia Gregg, Jack Crucian, and Ben Wright.
Now, from Hollywood, romance. Let me tell you about Cairo and a dancing girl called Zia. Now, in Hollywood, I'd seen them all, and there wasn't one that didn't have a figure like a sour eggplant compared to this dish.
So now, starring Jack Moyles, we bring you transcribed Anthony Ellis's comedy, Zia's Dream.
Anybody want to know anything about Cairo? Egypt, Cairo? Just ask me. I'm a walking Baedeker's. If you're interested, I was stationed there at the end of the war. Kind of a liaison between the British and us. And by liaison, I mean I was a first lieutenant attached to the staff of a general who had a thirst for good scotch, cold beer, and attractive women. Cairo was a British post then, so you can see there had to be plenty of liaison for us few Americans. Like the general said when he first called me into his office.
Yeah. Who are you?
Lieutenant McQueen reporting for duty, sir.
That's what I thought. It says here in your papers, it says, Lieutenant, that in civilian life you were a Hollywood agent. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
You know your way around, Lieutenant.
In Hollywood, I know my way around, sir.
Wine, women, and song, huh?
If you want to put it that way, sir.
I want to put it that way.
Okay, sir.
We need some of that around here, Lieutenant. I want you to know your way around Cairo, and incidentally, your first duty will be to get me a case of whiskey. Good whiskey, understand?
I'll try, sir.
Don't try, do. As of now, Lieutenant, you're my adjutant. Last man was broken for incompetence. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
I'll give you 1 week to get yourself acclimated.
Thank you, sir.
Dismissed.
Now, you shouldn't get the idea that the general was off his rocker. He'd been wounded and decorated early in the campaign, and because he was a tough old devil, he refused to be shipped home. So it was sort of like putting him out to pasture out there in Cairo. Maybe he was plain bored, or maybe he just didn't care. Anyway, he figured I was the man for the job, and that was that. I was adjutant, liaison, and planning officer all in one. Oh, that last one's what I want to tell you about. I guess I'd been with the old man for about a month when I heard about the dancer. Not just a dancer, but really something. She was working out in a place called Mahmoud's, a cross between Ciro's and Minsky's. It was in the center of the Arab city and a place where most officers didn't go. I'd made some connections, so we went. Her name was Zia, and was she something?
I'd like to meet her.
Gee, I don't know about that, General. From what I hear...
I want to meet her.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Very, very good.
I'll see what I can do, General.
The Effendi desires...
Well, it's not me, Mahmoud. It's the General. He wants to meet Zia.
I will ask her if she so desires, Effendi.
Oh, do me a favor, buddy. Don't let her say no. There's 5 piastres talari in it for you, and I don't want to lose my job.
It shall be as you wish, Effendi.
When Zia came over to me, my agent blood started into work. The general wanted to meet her, but I wanted to sign her up. She was a gold mine if I could get her back to the States under personal contract. But first things first... We walked over to the general's table. General Nelson, may I present Zia?
My dear, won't you join us?
The general is too kind.
Champagne, Lieutenant. That is, if you care for champagne, mademoiselle.
It is very quenching to the thirst.
Yeah.
I should be most pleased.
Mahmoud.
Effendi desires...
Champagne.
It shall be as you wish.
Tell me, mademoiselle...
Zia...
Zia.
I am always called Zia.
Well, Zia, where do you learn to dance like that? it's terrific.
It is a thing that I was taught in my very youthful days, General. I am so glad that you find it enjoyable.
Oh, it's the most sensational thing I've ever seen.
Imagine how that'd go over in the States, sir. Hollywood.
Lieutenant McQueen was a Hollywood agent, my dear. He can't forget.
That is where the films are made, is not?
That's the place, Zia.
You think they would like my dance there?
Why, they'd eat it up.
Tell me, what is an agent?
Well, agents kind of manage the affairs of the stars. You know, see that they get the right kind of money for what they do.
One needs an agent for this.
It helps.
Here in Cairo, I do not need an agent. And you see, they devour me every night.
Charming. Bless me. It's charming. That puts you in your place, McQueen.
Yeah.
The champagne, Effendi.
Oh, fine, fine. Open it up.
As the Effendi desires.
McQueen, I'm expecting an important military cable. I think you better go back to headquarters and see if it's arrived.
Oh, but sir...
McQueen.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, please, Zia. Duty.
But I am so disappointed.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. I hope we meet again.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. I left the general batting his eyes at Zia and went back to headquarters, where I played gin with another army remittance man till 2 a.m. That's about the time the general rolled in. He wasn't blind drunk, but he wasn't stone sober either.
Close the door, McQueen. Wham!
Yes, sir.
She's just terrific.
Yes, sir.
That's a woman, McQueen.
Yes, sir.
I stayed through 3 more dances, and each time she came back and sat with me. Lieutenant, I've got to get to know that girl better.
Oh, yes, sir.
I want you to find out for me.
Seems to me, sir, you spent enough time to get the answers yourself.
That's insubordination, McQueen.
Sorry, sir.
You know what I mean. Where she lives... Man in my position can't lower his dignity. Not with a woman of that caliber. This is Egypt, son. Egypt, land of the mosque and the pharaoh. Delicacy, convention, Up to a point. Well, you pave the way, McQueen. Find out what she likes. Flowers, perfume, that kind of thing.
So like maneuvers, scouting parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Ah, she's a doll, son. A woman of grace and culture. A princess. Now, you'll get to work on it tomorrow, the first thing.
Yes,
and
sir.
I want to see some results when we get back tomorrow night.
Tonight, sir.
Tonight. Now, Lieutenant, play me up to her. You know, older man, security, dignity, wisdom. No, I don't have to tell you. You sell me.
Well, I handled a character actor once. He was a lot like you. I know the approach.
Good. Well, I'm going to turn in. See you in the morning, McQueen.
It took me a couple of hours next day to find out where Zia lived, and I went there. It was kind of a castle with about 10 acres of grounds. Out on the driveway, a couple of flunkies were polishing up a Rolls Royce, and there was another Rolls sticking its nose out of the 8-car garage. Well, I went in and got myself announced. A couple of beauties showed me to a sitting room about the size of Grand Central, and they began to give me the Arabian Nights treatment, you know, candy, dates, and wine. After about 10 minutes, Zia came in. She looked even better in daylight.
Lieutenant, how delightfully surprised. You do me too much honor.
Good morning, Zia.
Please, sit down.
Well, it's quite a place you've got.
I'm glad it pleases you.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Not needing an agent. You do all right.
And how is the dear old gentleman, the general?
A little hungover, I'm afraid, but otherwise fine.
He's very sweet.
Yeah, he thinks you are, too. As a matter of fact, well, I'll give it to you straight. He sent me here to pave the way, if you get what I mean. He wants to know you better.
How quaint. He sent you to do this for him?
Yeah.
And you? You do not wish to know me better?
Well, I'm a lieutenant. He's a general.
That does not matter to me.
Well...
Wait. I have a delicious idea. We will drive to the pyramid, you and I. And you will tell me about yourself, and about America, and Hollywood, and agents.
Gee, I don't know. The general might not like it.
But I will, Lieutenant.
Well, I guess it's in the line of duty.
You know, I find you much prettier than your general. I think I want to get to know you better.
We will return to romance and our story, Zia's Dream, in just a moment. And now for the second act of Romance.
Well, we drove out to the pyramid. Her Rolls Royce was well equipped. Built-in bar, radio, telephone, snack bar, everything. I told her about Hollywood and she couldn't get enough of it. The morning went in a hurry and half the afternoon. I was on my fourth martini when she said...
How much I would love to come to your Hollywood.
Oh, baby, just say the word and you're as good as there.
But I could not.
Sure you could. I could pull strings. You can get in easy.
Oh, it is not that. My friends here in Cairo, they would be so unhappy.
So send them penny postcards. Oh, listen, the studio would pay you $100,000 for one picture. I know they would. You could do a week in Las Vegas. We'd name our own price.
And you would be my agent?
Well, sure, if you want.
It is a lovely dream that must remain just so. I could not leave.
Why? You want to go? Now, with your talent and my agenting... Oh, honey, we'd kill him.
My friends would not approve. They believe America to be the breeding place of the infidel.
So we got a couple of infidels. Okay, I'll keep you away from them.
You do not understand. They have done so much for me. If I left, I would have nothing on my return.
Look, what do you make here? How much?
Mahmoud gives me 50 talari every week.
Holy...
You live on that? How come the car, the house?
Oh, those are presents from my dear friends. The house, the one you have seen, was given to by Sheikh Ali Rashid. My house by the seaside is a gift from Prince Ramud bin Ramud. This car was given by Prince Hamid al-Hassan, as well as the yacht. There are other friends as well.
You got nice friends.
They would be unhappy to see me leave.
Yeah. I still don't get it. Why work? You don't have to.
It is my living. I could not accept presents and not work.
They wouldn't believe you for real in Hollywood.
For real?
No, skip it.
Your Hollywood sounds very nice, but I am afraid I could never be as happy there as I am here.
Honey, I hate to admit it, but you're right. Oh, hey, look at the time. I gotta get back. General will be chewing his desk. Uh-oh. I forgot I'm supposed to be talking him up. He expects to see you tonight. He wants to bring you some kind of a present. What do you like?
I have never owned a nice big American car, perhaps.
Flowers. Perfume?
I would like you to bring flowers, perfume, the general, an American car, or perhaps another yacht.
Oh, honey, be serious, will you? This is my job.
You are coming to Mahmoud's tonight?
None of the general has anything to say about it.
Then I do not care to see him.
Well, look, if he brings you a bottle of perfume, but it's really for me, he gives it to you. Would that be okay?
You will come with him?
If you won't see him without me, I guess I'll have to.
You may bring perfume.
Okay. Oh, listen, I've had a swell time. You're a real swell kid.
You are a real swell kid also, Lieutenant. And you may kiss me if you desire.
I desired. Then she dropped me off at headquarters. The general had already broken a staff sergeant down to buck private and was in the middle of straining international relations with an English brigadier.
I don't care what the British government thinks, General. The answer is no. Blast it, sir. Yes, blast it. You can say anything you want. The answer is no.
Well, it's a blasted unfair position to take, sir.
Tough. That's the way it is.
Well, if this is an indication of American cooperation, sir, blast it, sir. You're devilish unfriendly.
Don't just stand there, McQueen. Open the door for the general. He's leaving.
By. Blast it.
And where have you been?
Following orders, sir.
It's 4 o'clock.
She was difficult to convince, sir.
Well, you convinced her?
Partially, I think, sir. She'll expect you tonight, but...
But what?
Well, sir, she thinks I should be there, too.
You have been drinking.
Well, she offered me a martini, sir.
Lieutenant, how would you like to be transferred to, Alaska?
Well, I wouldn't like that, sir.
Your chances are excellent.
Well, if I may explain, sir.
You have 1 minute.
Zia is very shy. From the way she spoke, I got the idea that you were quite right in sending me over to sort of pave the way. She's a little afraid of you.
Afraid of me?
Yes, sir. The great American general, as she says.
Oh, yes.
He couldn't possibly be interested in me. Then she said she'd like to see you again, but, well, people might talk, and it'd be bad for her job.
It'd be bad for her job.
But if I were to be there, too, it'd be all right.
McQueen, I misjudged you.
No, it's really nothing, sir. Oh, and I might suggest Essence of Dusk Musk. Seems to be one of her favorite perfumes.
Oh, it does, huh? Dusk Musk, huh? Well, see to it, Lieutenant. We'll dine at Mahmoud's.
They've got a name for generals like Nelson. I read it once in a doctor's manual. Schizophrenic, I think they call it. Split personality. With a general, it was a stinker 1 minute, more of a stinker the next. Anyway, I went out and bought the perfume, threw in a bunch of roses for luck, and a couple of hours later, we were sitting at our table at Mahmoud's.
Wham! Hot wham!
Yes, sir.
Well, get with it, boy. Get with it. That girl makes me feel 20 years younger. Oh, fine.
fine, very fine. I like it. Oh, McQueen, she's coming over.
My dear General Lieutenant, how lovely to see you again.
Sit down, Zia. You were ravishing, simply ravishing. Oh, I presume to bring you a small token of my esteem. I hope you will accept it.
But you are too sweet. Oh, you should not have done this. I'm not used to receiving presents this way.
Champagne bubbles went down the wrong way.
As I say, it's only a token, Zia. Perhaps someday you will allow me to give you something that is more fitting.
I think, General, that you are a very wicked and dangerous man for a girl like me. Yeah. Tell me, what are you when you are not a man of war?
Didn't you tell her, McQueen?
Well, I didn't know, sir. You never told me.
I'm in business. Mostly retired. I clip coupons in stocks, you know. Wall Street, oil wells.
Oil wells?
I don't have to tell you. After that, everything ran like a dream. It wasn't that Zia lost interest in me, but she found something in the general. What it meant to me was the last hope of getting her back to Hollywood under personal contract. But as an agent, you learn to be a philosopher. And as a lieutenant, what are you going to do? A couple of months later, I got my orders to be shipped back to the States for removal to civilian life. A couple of days before I left, I got a message from Zia. She wanted me to call. I did.
It is very kind of you, Lieutenant.
Oh, forget it. I kind of wanted to see you again anyway before I left.
You are going back to Hollywood?
Yeah.
I envy you.
Well, just say the word, you can come with me.
No, my friend.
Oh, yeah, the general. I don't see much of him these days. How is he?
Very well. Did you see my new Cadillac car when you came in?
Oh, yeah, very pretty.
Lieutenant, will you do something for me when you reach your Hollywood?
Sure, honey, sure.
It is an errand of trust that I give you. I can trust you, can I not?
Just like a brother.
Send me a picture of Gary Cooper.
Why not?
Thank you. He's my most favorite man.
Is that all you wanted to see me about?
Yes, that was all. You are very sweet, Lieutenant. I wish that you had a great deal of money.
So do I.
No, the general.
The oil wells, huh?
Oh, yes. He's very, very rich. Much more so than any of the others. Besides, he's a wonderfully young, elderly gentleman. We shall be very happy.
Well, I'm glad for you both. I was beginning to feel sorry for that old goat.
I heard that, McQueen. Breach of conduct.
My sweet meat. I did not expect you this morning.
What's he doing here?
I wanted to tell him about my great happiness. It was he who brought us together, my colleague.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Well, I'll be going now.
You're leaving the day after tomorrow, McQueen?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll forget your breach of conduct. I may not see you again. Z and I are taking a yachting trip. Good luck. We'll send you a wedding announcement.
Fine. Wedding announcement? You're kidding.
We're not kidding. It is true.
Any objections, Lieutenant?
No, sir. No. None at all. No. Congratulations.
Thank you. Dismissed, Lieutenant McQueen.
And that's about it. Except a couple of months ago, I received an announcement of the fifth child, a son born to General and Mrs. Nelson. Oh, yes, they're still living in Cairo. The general's retired now. I guess it goes to show you something, but I can't figure what. Well, it shows you all the world loves oil wells, I guess.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, with editorial supervision by Hep Mannheim. You have heard Zia's Dream, specially written for romance by Anthony Ellis, starring Jack Moyles. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Virginia Gregg, Jack Crucian, and Ben Wright. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time.
Romance on Tuned to Yesterday from February 19th, 1955 on CBS. And that closes this hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.